Flintstone. I don't know Jerry Lee. I never met Johnny Noble standing with a sprat. A mocking rose passing sun. Go out, get drunk, get wild, have fun. I don't got $1 million, don't drive a Cadillac. Give me every chance, cause I'm not dead yet.
And welcome to Stop the Presses. It's the 15th of June. It's a Wednesday, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live after quite a hiatus, off and on a bit. I know that lately my annual sojourn from Texas to Michigan requires quite a bit of energy, and the Joe Biden gas prices certainly didn't help. But here I am. I've been doing a lot of AFP work and some UK column work, and I am now a regular contributor to ukcolumn.org. That's the latest development. You'll probably catch me on there at least once every 2 weeks, if not more often than that, on UK Column News, which is at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern U.S. time, 7 a.m. Central, 1 o'clock local time in the U.K., and that's about an hour and a half show that runs Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. So I'm on there regularly now, and so check that out. And today I am joined again by Ron Avery, my fellow co-commentator and video engineer. So naturally we are back to our old tricks, and that's video simulcasting the show to livestream.com/Ron Avery/StopTheCresses. And of course, the audio only goes as per usual to republicbroadcasting.org, where you can listen in real time. And you can also, of course, check us out on the archive there at the website. Under show schedules, that's your best way, or straight to archives. Anyway, the main topic today is a deeper look at the post-Uvalde, Texas, gun control, a.k.a. civilian disarmament measures. I did a little digging, and I'm also doing some new AFP news videos at AmericanFreePress.net. I'm doing roughly two of those a week, and I did one on this subject that I'm about to launch into now, but that one is only about 15 minutes long. Now I've got the better part of an hour, so I can scour a little bit more here, Ron.
Good.
Now, just to give some background, what's happening on Capitol Hill is that the House already passed a bill, the Senate has not. On June 8th, for a bill introduced May 31st, the House passed H.R. 7910, the Protecting Our Kids Act. That is H.R. 7910, Protecting Our Kids Act, introduced May 31st. Passed June 8th by a vote of 223 to 204, roughly but not totally along partisan lines. Now, just to give some background before we get into the nitty-gritty, this is the House part of what's going on. We'll get to what the Senate's doing in just a minute, and that's where things get especially interesting. So you're going to want to stick around and hear this, ladies and gentlemen, live and on the archive. But this H.R. 7910, the you could almost say euphemistically titled Bill Protecting Our Kids Act. I wonder about the word protecting. At any rate, it makes various changes to existing federal firearms laws. So this is tinkering, mostly. And among the changes, according to the Library of Congress, are as follows. The bill generally prohibits the sale or transfer of certain semi-automatic firearms to individuals who are under 21. So if you're under 21, there would be certain semi-automatic firearms that you'd no longer be permitted to buy. The next one establishes a new federal criminal offenses for gun trafficking and related conduct. Again, establishes new federal criminal offenses for gun trafficking and related conduct. Number three, establishes a federal statutory framework to regulate ghost guns, which are guns without serial numbers. The next one establishes a framework to regulate the storage of firearms on residential premises at the federal, state, and tribal levels. Now, that one is particularly interesting. regulate the storage of firearms on residential premises. The next one subjects bump stocks to regulation under federal firearms laws. Been there, done that. They're just kind of kicking the rubble around on that one. They've already messed with bump stocks. The next one generally prohibits the import, sale, manufacture, transfer, and possession of large capacity ammo feeding devices or magazines. That's a big one, Ron. And the last one for this summary, the summary is not the totality of the bill, requires the Department of Justice to report on the demographic data of persons who are determined to be ineligible to purchase a firearm based on a background check performed by the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. And ineligibility with the House version and what the Senate is tinkering with has a lot to do with mental health or records of mental health problems, but not exclusively. So that's the highlights of the House bill, Protecting Our Kids Act, 7910, H.R. 7910, passed by the House 223-204 on June 8th. Now, what is the Senate doing meanwhile? Well, this is where it gets interesting, and Ron, you can chime in on, in a minute here. The Senate effort is being led by U.S. Senator Chris Murphy, a Connecticut Democrat. Connecticut, of course, where Sandy Hook is located. And in fact, both of the senators from Connecticut are part of what the Senate is calling, or certain senators are calling, a bipartisan effort to build on what the House did and wrap this all in a big bow and send this to the president for his signature. So they're saying it's bipartisan, 10 Democrats, 10 Republicans. You got the two from Connecticut, and other Democrats include Tom Tillis. No, wait a minute, he's a Republican, pardon me. Kyrsten Sinema, Democrat from Arizona, who just returned from the Bilderberg meeting, and her counterpart, the other senator from Arizona, also a Democrat, the former astronaut Mark Kelly. And then we have some other typical Democrat names, Chris Coons from Delaware, Richard Blumenthal, he's the other one from Connecticut, he's been in there a long time, Cory Booker, who is just this side of sanity, if he's sane at all, from New Jersey, and Martin Heinrich from New Mexico, but the Republicans include, right from Texas, John Cornyn, Tom Tillis, North Carolina, another Republican, Roy Blunt, Missouri, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, Richard Burr, North Carolina, Lindsey Graham, there he is, South Carolina, Pat Toomey, Pennsylvania, and Rob Portman, Ohio. And I'll throw in Angus King, the so-called independent from Maine, as well as a pretty liberal Republican from Maine, Susan Collins. So that's some of the FYI on the bipartisan group that are working on the Senate side of this. But here's where it gets interesting, Ron, and you're going to want to chime in. When Chris Murphy, kind of the leader, the point man on this, the senator from Connecticut, the Democrat, when he went out and was pushing this, the podium said the words, "Don't look away. Pass gun safety laws now." And then in the corner was everytown.org. I repeat, everytown.org. And that's where the rabbit hole started to get deeper. And they're claiming, this bipartisan group, get this, most importantly, our plan saves lives while also protecting the constitutional rights of law-abiding Americans. We look forward to earning broad bipartisan support and passing our common sense proposal into law. And it goes on to say that it does a lot for mental health. And that's something Greg Abbott, the Texas governor, talked a lot about in the wake of Uvalde. We got to get mental health, mental health, mental health. This kid accused of shooting up all the people at the Uvalde Robb Elementary School, Salvador Ramos, he must have been crazy. We need mental health. And sure enough, this Senate proposed legislation looks at mental health from four different angles. Investment in children and family mental health services is an example. Funding for school-based mental health is another example, et cetera, et cetera. But it also includes penalties for straw purchasing of firearms. Of course, that's when somebody buys a firearm on someone else's behalf, because maybe that someone else doesn't have a clean record or is on parole, whatever the case could be. But at any rate, that's what's going on in the basic sense. But Ron, when I looked up everytown.org, it's a post-Sandy Hook organization, 501c3 and 501c4, led by none other than Michael Bloomberg, the former New York mayor who's notorious for pushing for gun control, a.k.a. civilian disarmament, while he's surrounded by a personal armory of bodyguards 24/7, 365. See, so once again, whose guns are we talking about? The ones that protect Michael Bloomberg don't count. The ones of the state, the guns of the state, which are often trained on civilians in shootouts like Waco and this and that, don't count. It's only the private gun, but it's not all private guns, Ron. If you're Michael Bloomberg, well, those private guns are okay, too. It's just Ron Avery and Mark Anderson's private guns that are the problem, you see. But everytown.org, it gets deeper than that. But I thought, before I go on, I got to save some of my ammo, pardon the pun, for the show to go on here. But I thought you might want to comment at this point, Ron.
Yeah, be happy to. All those provisions they've come up with for this bill, I believe... are irrelevant to the problem because they've manipulated these things before, and it doesn't deal with the problem. You're not going to find out who's mentally ill and who would do this. You can't really do well at stopping that before it happens. This is trying to preempt crime. Preempting crime is not really a very effective way to deal with it. And all this stuff about, okay, you raise the age, okay, 18, 19, 20, 21. Okay, are you saying a 21-year-old can't go out and do a crime like this? Only young people below the age of 21 do these kinds of crimes. What they're not removing, there's one thing they all haven't tried. They all don't want to look at it. I've sent them my bill before. And that is removing the object of these mass shootings. And I am convinced that the object of these mass shootings is disarmament of the American people. That's what the object is. Now, if you remove the object and make it a criminal offense to use mass shootings as a pretext to alter the law of the land, the Second Amendment, that's a crime. That is conspiracy to commit disarmament terrorism by using the harm done by another. And I don't think any of these things are going to be effective, and they don't want them to be effective, quite frankly. The people that are pushing disarmament of the American people against the law of the land, they know it's going to be irrelevant and ineffective, and they don't mind because ultimately they're going to say, well, all has failed except complete disarmament of the American people. That's the only thing that'll work. Well, that's just a lie. The thing that'll work is removing the object of all these mass shootings, because I still don't believe, no matter how crazy a person is, an 18-year-old has no even crazy desire to go kill a bunch of children in a school. He don't know them from Adam. He don't know. It's aimless, ridiculous crime. This just is insane. Something is happening that's way beyond all of this ridiculous kid shooting stuff. It's, and let me tell you, if they made it a crime with high monetary payments and prison time, hard prison time, they'd stop these mass shootings. Because nobody could even talk about them. Nobody could say to alter the Second Amendment as a result. So what would they do?
Yes, a little later on in the show, you're going to want to stick around for this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get into some screenshots. Of course, that's for the video version. I always describe it as best I can for audio-only listeners, but at least one screenshot that deals with a very disturbing trend, and I'll talk about that most likely after the bottom of the hour. It's breaking news in a way, and it's something that is especially troubling, and it has to do with withholding information from these school shootings, but I'll detail it more later. Yeah, Ron, a couple things while I'm still in the legislative realm here. Penalties for straw purchasing being part of probably both the House and Senate, but definitely the Senate side of this legislation. Lest we forget that, about 10 years ago, there was Operation Fast and Furious, where federal firearms regulating agencies and various federal agencies, I believe the BATFE was involved, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, they were involved in something that brought the former Attorney General, Eric Holder, before Congress during the Obama years to ask why the federal government did straw purchases of firearms and used different people to make those straw purchases and ran those guns into Mexico, claiming that if they could trace the guns, they could trace the drug cartels who had the guns. But at the same time, they were transferring high-powered weaponry to known criminals, the kind of people who chop other people into pieces just for fun. Mm-hmm. The way you and I would cut up some brisket, okay?
Watermelon.
And so this is the same federal government that was involved in Operation Fast and Furious, which caused quite a stir, you might recall. That's the same federal government that now has penalties for straw purchasing in this legislation. And in fact, John Cornyn, who's part of this bipartisan group, I covered it myself. I was right in that room when he questioned Eric Holder left, right, and center and chopped him pretty much to pieces, really grilled him hard, saying, why were you involved in straw purchases and gun running? What is this Operation Fast and Furious? And now the same thing, straw purchasing appearing in this legislation, and there's John Cornyn's name. It's starting to smell a little hypocritical here, or at least not well focused. At any rate, the situation is such where, what are we doing time-wise? Well, I'm going to wait till the break, and then I got a screenshot I'm going to share. But now I'll kind of segue a little more into the Everytown USA thing. And I'm kind of looking through my notes here. I've got some other stats to share and a recent article that AFP ran about Uvalde written by Donald Jeffries. I've got lots to share today, plenty of info. But Everytown.org not only is headed by Michael Bloomberg as the founder and CEO, but the president is, let's get his name right, John Feinblatt, Jonathan Feinblatt. And who is he? Well, he is the president of this Everytown.org. And the actual name, Everytown for Gun Safety. That's the full name. Everytown.org is the website. Everytown for Gun Safety. John Feinblatt's the president. Michael Bloomberg, the founder. Well, John Feinblatt is a regular at the Aspen Institute, where in recent times he has given talks on civilian disarmament or participated in them at the very least with the likes of Eric Schmidt, the Google luminary, who also founded Alphabet and is a regular Bilderberger. And so the globalists are at least tangentially involved in this, having some pretty high-level talks. And if you read through the literature, Ron, what's coupled with their think tank chats about civilian disarmament, aka gun control, is extremely liberal internationalist ideologies about every topic under the sun. The reason I say that is because they're not coming at this from an objective constitutional standpoint. Everything else they're talking about is slanted way to the internationalist left. And so this is just another topic for them. Another day it could be special drawing rights of the IMF, or it could be sustainable development goals of the UN. So we'll be back with much more on that and many other topics. Stay tuned.
Are you sick of censorship. TL.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammie, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Segment of Stop the Presses here on the 15th of June, 2022. And for the video simulcast today, livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. Describing it, of course, for audio listeners, I have on the screen the Everytown for Gun Safety website. And there's that sign there that was at the podium with Chris Murphy, the Connecticut senator who's leading the charge for the Senate side of this legislation that I described earlier, the post-Uvalde, Texas gun control legislation. And it says here, for example, 2,750 people in America have been shot and killed since the mass shooting in Uvalde on May 24th. Now, a lot of that is your inner-city gun violence, handguns mostly. Tell your U.S. senators, it says, don't look away from our national gun violence crisis. Pass gun safety laws now. And so they're framing it as gun safety. But what I find particularly interesting, Ron, is if you go down here and it says on the right-hand side of the screen, we have a plan to end gun violence. Of course, they're separating the gun from the violence of the perpetrator. The perpetrator and not the gun is the problem. But here it says stop arming teachers. I'm going to click on that. And what's interesting here is that they make an argument here, if you want to call it that, to not have armed staff or teachers at the schools. Now, this was suggested in a gun marshals or armed marshals, school marshals context by Jason Biaba, a former state rep from Texas. He lives in the Dallas area. I believe he's an attorney. And he talked about the school marshals about 2013 when you and I covered it, Ron, when he was somewhere in the greater San Antonio area and you and I took the video camera out and attended a press conference with Jason Biaba there. But here is this Everytown USA even saying that you can't arm teachers and staff. And they say that school shootings are chaotic, and in these moments of chaos, we cannot ask teachers to stop a shooter, potentially a former student. And arming teachers is not one of the solutions, it says. But if you read through this, it's a very specious argument. For one thing, it deflates or minimizes the actual idea of arming teachers. Many of us remember David Thwaite, the principal at the Harold School District, H-A-R-R-O-L-D, near the Oklahoma border. And I've interviewed him once in person and a couple times over the phone. Way back in 2008, he armed any teachers that wanted to be armed and had them, you know, trained, probably did a background check on the ones that volunteered. And at that school, and it was kind of in a remote area, so he felt the school was vulnerable, they had a concealed carry for a pretty good number of teachers and administrators, so that any perpetrator or would-be school shooter would not know from person to person who might be armed, and it created the principle of uncertainty. And that got a lot of headlines, and for what it's worth, there's never been a school shooting at Harold Schools, and granted, that doesn't prove anything definitively. But then with the school marshal suggestion, Ron, when we talked to Jason Biaba, he didn't say you only arm teachers. He said retired military, retired police, people from the community who are well known to be trained with firearms, who have a good record, a good background, all sorts of different people, not just teachers and staff, could be part of these school marshals. See, so they're making it sound smaller than it is. They're minimizing it, saying we can't ask teachers to stop a shooter. While the school marshals plan did not ask just teachers, it asked the whole community to get involved. Members of the sheriff's posse, members of the sheriff's reserve. Oftentimes, they're older officers who used to be full-time. And you can imagine that any school or hospital or retirement home where there's lots of people together on a regular basis for long periods of time, having one, maybe two marshals at each door, maybe even at outdoor entrances, at gateways and stuff, there's nothing unlawful about it. It's very workable. They could all have walkie-talkies to communicate with along with their cell phones. All sorts of audiovisual technology could aid in what they're doing. And at least for the time being, as a stopgap measure, the entire nation could adopt this model, Ron. And that could include people like you and me who are properly trained who could volunteer for this. See, so you see how they minimize it and then dismiss the whole idea.
Yes.
Your thoughts, Ron. I know we're in a short segment, but maybe you have some quick thoughts on that.
It's obvious. Why would you have somebody that's a known advocate of the disarmament of the American people against the United States Constitution? Why would he be the head of this group, and would we believe anything he said about it at all? Because he's prejudiced. He does not want people, he does not want the Second Amendment, period.
Yeah, whether it's teachers or anybody else being armed. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
A single smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EazeOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
From a little big horn to the Rio Grande. It seems we've seen the last that we need stand. Well, all the flea markets and the paper routes. If you can't trade in bulk, you get muscled out.
And welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses on the 15th of June, 2022. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you after a bit of a hiatus, joined by Ron Avery, as per usual. And now I'm showing at least the one other screenshot for the video simulcast of today's show, describing it, of course, that those for those who are just listening audio. But the video simulcast, as I often say, goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. And here's the item that I alluded to in the first segment of the show. Texas shooting records could be blocked by a legal loophole. So now the state of Texas, Ron, is maneuvering to completely black out official records or information of what happened in Uvalde. And this is especially troubling based on something that Ron and I have often talked about. And I'm going to read a little bit here. As public pressure mounts, showing it on the screen, for more information on the deadly Uvalde school shooting, some are concerned that Texas officials will use a legal loophole to block records from being released, even to the victims' families, once the case is closed. See, so they're probably going to rush to judgment and close the case so they can close the books and close the records altogether. And a number of questions remain unanswered by authorities, the article says, and that's a good thing that they're at least asking some questions. You usually don't see this. Why did police take more than 1 hour to enter the classroom and confront the gunman? Of course, this is all based on the conventional story. What do their body cameras show? How did law enforcement officers communicate with one another and the victims during the attack? And what happened when dozens of officers gathered outside the classroom and yet refrained from pursuing the shooter? And what this is about is, as I understand it, Ron, when the shooter is dead and does not go to trial, then there's a legal loophole that enables the state to close the books on this and not let any information out. And that sounds pretty crazy to me. I'm probably oversimplifying it a little bit, but that's the gist of it. And as you and I have often said, Ron, the huge problem, the glaring problem with all those that clamor for civilian disarmament is on this and other school shootings or church shootings, whatever the case, we have never, even once, gotten a unambiguous, unnebulous, clear-cut, detailed, accurate report on what happened at a given shooting. Not once have we received that. And now, instead of a heavily redacted report like I got about the Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church shooting when I inquired back in 2018, they sent me 11 of 86 pages, and even that was heavily redacted. Now they're saying zero, Ron, that there'd be nothing about this shooting. And even the press, to their credit, the mainstream media, mass media cartel, is asking some questions because of the way the police behave. But you'll notice, Ron, for example, they mentioned that where's the body cam footage? But as Donald Jeffries reported in the most recent American Free Press, as he noted, and I'll read it quote for verbatim, left unasked is the question of where the school's security camera footage is, or if the school's cameras were even working. See, so the press isn't asking about the built-in cameras in the school. They're only asking about the webcams that are on the police officers' bodies or in their cars. So the questions that the mass media cartel are asking may be welcome to a limited degree, but they're very limited. But of course, the worst thing here, Ron, is this could set a precedent, because most of the time the so-called alleged shooters are dead. Rarely do they live. The one from Buffalo, New York, at some sort of grocery store a few weeks back, that shooter, who we're also told was 18 years old, we were told that shooter lived. But that's the exception, not the rule. And maybe this is just particular to Texas, but just how far might this go, Ron, where we could get to a point where there's another mysterious shooting with all sorts of unanswered questions, and there just won't be any report at all. And if there is, the people won't even stand a chance of seeing it, and things are bad enough now. We've seen nothing convincing. So this is a pretty disturbing trend. What are your thoughts on it, Ron?
Yeah, I think that this particular item was in the bill I wrote to and sent to my congressmen and senators and Joe Biden. And there's a way to handle this. I can see it from the viewpoint of parents that don't want to have pictures of their child shot up with their blood all over the floor and all that. That's understandable. But what people are not grasping here is that disarmament of the American people is unlawful. It is a crime. Why aren't people concerned about crime? They should be just as turned off and angered from someone saying, I want to go kill some kids. They should be just as mad when somebody says, I want to disarm the American people. And how would you make an elementary school more secure by making America completely vulnerable to tyranny, to the same thing, or to crime, completely defenseless? So the way to protect a school is to make all of America defenseless. I mean, This is not even logical. Now, the way to handle this report stuff is if anyone, any group or anyone tries to make a mass shooting like this a pretext for disarmament, it should be automatic that all pictures, all of the crime scene, the whole thing, blood, the horror of it, should all be made public, to the public, completely. No redaction of any kind. All of it in a complete report showing every detail. Now, if they, and it put, that way it puts the evil on those who are doing evil. It is evil to disarm the American people. And if they're going to use a crime and violence like this to disarm, to commit a greater crime, which is disarmament of the American people, they need to make all of this absolutely public. And, however, if a crime like this happens, a mass shooting, and nobody tries to make it a pretext for disarmament, for the commission of a greater crime, then I say keep it private. There's no reason to make it public. But if they're going to attempt to disarm the American people, they better prove that event happened and exactly the way they said it. And even then, it's not sound thinking. Even if it was like they said, it's not sound thinking to disarm the American people as a result. People are just not grasping the idea that disarmament is evil and unlawful, just as murder is. It's the same magnitude of crime.
Yeah, I would add, however, Ron, I would add a caveat. Just from my days as a reporter, 35 plus years, even if they're not calling for disarmament, which of course is a lot better if they don't try and exploit these shootings as ambiguous and nebulous as they are for that Second Amendment attack, even if they're not attacking the Second Amendment, I still am not comfortable with them claiming a shooting went a certain way and so happened. And just like you would for a traffic report, just like you would for a car accident, just like you would for if there was a flood in town, any significant event, you're a reporter, you go down and you want to verify what happened, right? Just as a matter of due course, whether it's a shooting of one person or a shooting of 10, there's no reason for them to completely close off the records, even if they're not calling for disarmament, because a public record is a public record is a public record. And that's just the journalistic tradition. But on top of that, however, if they do call for undermining the Second Amendment, then that's all the more reason that they've got to prove their case. So, and I know what you mean, that still doesn't justify attacking the Second Amendment, but at the very least, it would behoove them to prove their claims as to what happened at a given church or school and put their best case forward. They're probably going to lose, but they do have the right, basically, to make their case. Well, let's see it then, right? Well, if we can't see it, then we have to declare all these shootings as ambiguous events. And if they're ambiguous, unexplained, incomplete events, then we cannot make any public policy based on them whatsoever.
Well, Mark, here's what I'm trying to say, too. I'm trying to say let's reverse what they're doing to us. What they're trying to do to us, investigators and journalists, is to make us the bad guy because we want to see what happened there. We want to see in detail, even the crime scene photos, we want to see them. They make us out to be bad people because it would hurt the parents of the victims of that crime. I can gotta see that. But let's turn that around and let's put it on the bad guys. If the bad guys want to use this to disarm the American people, then that's at least that's when they got to show everything. And it'd be against the law not to show every photograph of the crime scene just as it was and unredacted. That way, the bad guy is the one that's trying to overturn the laws of America, to alter the laws of the land by the use of violence. That's what they're doing.
Interesting. Yeah, at any rate, we do need to know what happens to these events, and we cannot make public policy based on unexplained, completely opaque, nebulous events. Uvalde, where the school was within eyeshot of a number of houses on two of the four sides of the school, much different than Sandy Hook, which was more isolated from any residential areas. A lot of people saw this stuff right out their front windows or from their driveways, and they saw the way the police behaved. There's lots of questions being asked, and rightly so. But they're not all the right questions. There's still so many outlying questions. They claim, again, that the accused shooter, who's now reportedly dead, just went to the school and the cops got there later, when initial footage showed that he was chased to the school by some state police and went in after he wiped his truck out, or whosever truck it was. And therefore, police were there right when he got there, and they're covering that up, even though they're asking other questions about the police. So you see, they're being very selective about which questions they ask, even though the ones they do ask might be good questions. They're being very selective. He just bought the firearm the day after his May 17 birthday. He bought one of them, spent about $2,300. And then on that Friday, May 20th, 4 days before the so-called shooting, he buys another $2,500 firearm. Where did he get the money? Was he ever seen at a firing range practicing? And did anybody ever confirm with Oasis Gun and Sporting Goods store, where he supposedly got the gun, did anyone ever confirm or double-check the fact that they said they never saw him there? They never saw him buying those weapons there. So that begins to open it wider. If it was Salvador Ramos, where did he get the weapons? Where did he get the money? Was it him, or is he just a face they're giving us? And then there's the initial questions way back early on, when there was some question as to whether he was not even an American national, and that might explain the Border Patrol's involvement, which is awfully heavy involvement, even though Uvalde's about 80, 85 miles roughly from the border. Why was the Border Patrol directly involved, and they're the ones that supposedly took him out? See, they're still not asking those questions, Ron. They ask certain questions that are a little bit safer to ask, but at least they're asking some. It does provide kind of a chink in the armor of this narrative to where maybe our questions could be heard, and that's the good part. But the thing is now, even though the press and the parents are asking a limited variety of good questions, now they're trying to pull the plug on providing any information whatsoever. And to make these things absolutely mysterious goings on, absolutely mysterious happenings. And so it's a very tricky situation.
Yeah, why even bother to do reports? Why do they even do police reports if they don't have to release them to anybody? And all redacted. I mean, even Sandy Hook, there's just nothing in all of that material at Sandy Hook that one could put their real trust in. It's not there. It's all redacted and unintelligible. It's data clogged with useless information.
Indeed it is. We do have a caller, James from Vancouver. Let's get him in while the time is good. It's about 3:48 Eastern Time. James, you still with us?
Yes, I am. Let me get this straight. They're not going to give you any of the evidence and cap it all and keep it secret, and you're going to go to court with that? If you can't get any evidence, you're not going to be able to make a case. And I'd like to know where it says in the Constitution or the Bill of the Second Amendment where it says, well, we're going to give you all guns, but if the shooting gets too bad, you got to give them up. You see what I mean?
Where are you going?
It doesn't say that. It says you get to keep the guns because you can't trust the government. And the government's, you know, this is a whole staged show in order to scare mom and dad who's watching their TV sets. Hey, look at that mother, you know, yeah, and the guns, you see. It's all a big Hollywood show.
In a sense, it is. It certainly has some of the characteristics of such a show. Good point, James. The idea that they would go totally silent on this smacks of a huge cover-up, meaning they don't want to answer the questions that even this mass media are asking, or the parents, because that might lead to the deeper questions that the Ron Avery's and James and Mark Anderson's might ask, And that just won't do. Not only do they not want to publish any reports of whether they're sloppy and basically useless, like the Sandy Hook report, they just don't want to do any reporting whatsoever now. Now, if this were a flood or a big car accident or an oil slick or anything, there'd be a full report on it that you could probably go read. But boy, when somebody's shot by a gun, whether there's two of them or 20 of them or whatever the allegation is, all of a sudden that's taboo. We can't look at that. But I want to know how many spent shells are on the floor versus how many people were hit. I want a chart showing where the spent shells were laying. I want a chart showing the layout of the overall school. Show me where the room is in relation to the overall school. Show me the route where he came in. Clear up this idea that a teacher left the door open, then all of a sudden, ooh, no, she didn't, but the door didn't happen to lock, and that's how he got in. Clear up the claims about a guy was getting his hair cut across the street, and he was retired or off-duty Border Patrol, and he went in and supposedly cleaned house and took care of business against the alleged assailant. Then all of a sudden, it was a Border Patrol unit that went in, but they won't bother telling us why the Border Patrol was so intimately and centrally involved in the first place. And so, see, the plot thickens. They can't let the cat get out of the bag, because I think Ron agrees with me. I don't think this operation, and we're calling them operations, whatever they are, there's some kind of operation here. I don't think this one went exactly as planned. Something didn't go the way it was supposed to go, and they're running for cover. This is major damage control, and I think it seems to me, this is just my preliminary opinion, that the only thing they can do is go silent, because they can't stand up to real questioning. They can't stand up to real scrutiny. So they've got to screw this down as hard as they can, like when they put an extra layer of cement over JFK's grave so no one would go dig it up and find out any facts, right? So they're just not going to let this out. And I'm going to predict, and hopefully I'm wrong, I'll gladly be wrong, I'm going to predict that Texas will close the books on this and will not release any information whatsoever. And if they do, it's going to be another dog and pony show report that you can read it upside down or right side up, and it makes just as much sense.
Of course, you know, so this does more than increase suspicion about what really happened there.
It will increase suspicion, yes, and maybe they're damned if they do and damned if they don't in terms of hiding the data on this. James, do you have any parting comments?
Well, yeah, the way to do it is, one way is to go down to Uvalde and start walking around the streets and asking questions and try to find out from ambulance people or whatever, are there phone records. Phone records are very important. And you should be able to subpoena phone records, you see, because they'll tell you who called who, if anybody called anybody. But if they're going to destroy the school, like I hear, well, they wanted to know where the bullets went in Kennedy's car. And they sent it to Dearborn and had it cleaned up, you see. So destruction of evidence right on the face of it is illegal to begin with, see. And that's
when Kennedy's car was parked at Parkland, there's plenty of pictures of unknown, unnamed Secret Service agents, if that's what they were, wiping off the car with soap and water. And he wasn't even dead yet.
Let me bring something up real quick, James. Are you asking me and Mark to be another Wolfgang Halbig and start walking around there asking a bunch of questions? I mean, boy, that's like signing up for trouble. Here's the other point I'm going to try to make. I don't think it's been effective to find out that Sandy Hook really most likely did not happen at all. It hasn't done any good. Why? Because it is not attacking the real problem. We don't have a lawful government. There are no real investigations done. Nobody does anything about investigations. They already know all this stuff. We know about 9/11. The government knows about 9/11. We don't have a government. It's not there. There are no. There. They won't prosecute the real criminals. So, but what you can at least do is try to point that out to people. that at this point in the game, it hardly makes any difference what we discover and make public, because the government will not act on it because it's already overthrown. It is the problem. The government is tyrannical, it's overthrown, and it will not investigate itself in any form or fashion.
Thanks, James, for calling. I got to make some parting comments. We're nearing the end of the show. I appreciate your call. Now, what I would add, however, on that, Ron, this one thing is that with the it's just a caveat, the suspicion that's been stirred among the Uvalde people, and you're right, asking a lot of questions at this point in time could be hazardous to your health. When the embers cool down a little bit more, if it's done right, and I'm very good at this myself, I think certain questions could be asked of certain people in a certain way. But I think, however, even though the government appears to be a shell of its former self and for all intents and purposes appears to be dissolved, this would actually help people understand that a little more if we asked questions in such a way where we found out that they completely lied about Uvalde, and then people would begin to understand the state of our government. And that might be helpful in its own way, just in that caveat, to help more people realize that who we are told is our government does not behave like our government would behave. It behaves like a controlling mechanism of a foreign power or foreign element that has toppled the republic and replaced it with a imposter kind of republic. And maybe more people would see that. I realize that's a bit of a stretch, but if Uvalde could be the turning point, then people would be less likely to believe the narratives about other shootings in the future. So there could be something there.
For sure, I agree. We could show that it truly is an eventocracy. It is no longer worked out in the legislature. It is worked out in events. We are being ruled by events that are bought and paid for in advance.
And I would add, as we close the show, by events, ruled by events, in conjunction with private institutions like Every Town for Gun Safety, which also involves Mark Pitkovich, a senior research fellow with the Anti-Defamation League. Let me get my lips moving here. The senior research fellow for the ADL. Now, he's a very common one who's involved also. I think he's been quoted by the Southern Poverty Law Center. See, so we have a lot of the same players at work here. And let me try and read this while I have time. They operate, get this, by diversity, equity, and inclusion. And their DEI work, diversity, equity, and inclusion, means we work to deconstruct traditional systems and structures of oppression. Deconstruct traditional systems. That means the Second Amendment.
Perfect.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody, live and on the archive. We'll see you next time on Stop the Presses. Thanks, Ron, for joining me today. Thanks, James, for your call. Everybody, stay tuned for the next show here on RBN. Have a great day.
Nothing beats.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.